We've made it to episode 35 of the Jock and Nerd podcast. Listener, thanks for pressing play. This episode, we're going to be ranking the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's right, all 12 movies ranked by us. Plus, the latest news on the superhero TV season that's about to begin. Also, stick around for the after-show rant session. It gets really weird.
It's the Jock and Nerd podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jock and Nerd! Well, hello, friend, and thanks for checking out this episode of the Jock and Nerd podcast. My name is Imran.
My name is Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And we're your hosts, and that's why it's called the Jock and Nerd podcast. Welcome. Thanks for listening. This is episode 35, Anthony.
Holy fuck. Dude, 35. We're almost at your age.
Oh, shit. What happens when we get past my age? Then what do I do? Tree five. We are almost at my age.
We are there.
I think that episode should be like the golden episode. Isn't it like your golden birthday? I missed mine at five, so I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know what a golden birthday
was. I did not know what was going on.
You know, usually on a golden birthday, you get a golden shower.
Oh. All right. Well, it's never too late to try new things, people.
Oh, shit.
That's okay.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah, it's like a thing with apple juice and like an umbrella.
Similar,
yet. It's that thing where,
yet
no?
Different.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll find out on episode 30. How the fuck old am I? 9? 8?
58.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's going to be a while until I get there. Not my real age, Anthony. Shut up. Anyways, gang, if you are a new listener, thanks for tuning in.
Yes, thank you for tuning in, especially if you're a new listener from Singapore.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had...
The last episode, 34, with Fetty Ponce, which is actually a really good episode.
That was a great episode. Lots of downloads in Singapore, huh?
Unusual amount of downloads from Singapore.
That episode's been doing well, so I, you know...
So if you liked that episode and you're back from Singapore, that's awesome.
What's up, Singapore?
Talking nerd!
Thanks for spreading the empire of stupidity.
We love our international audience.
Absolutely, yeah. That is just a weird spike for like a random... Weird spike. But, you know, if you've been listening the last couple episodes, you know, we've been talking to a lot of really cool people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of creatives, a lot of writers, artists. And it's been great.
It has been.
Have you been enjoying it? I've been having a blast.
I've been liking meeting new creative people. More creative people than I.
And yeah, right?
Most certainly than I, but even at your level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I just love talking to those kind of people. But... I've missed this, Anthony.
Missed broing out?
Yeah, I missed broing out with you. Like, we don't talk during the week, and then when we do this, there's like five other people on the fucking show, and we can't talk and hang out.
We can't. We're not able to bullshit like we were in the past.
So, not to say I love all the guests that have been on.
Yeah, no, we love the guests. It's just the fact that we haven't been able to talk about nothing for a long time.
So I think this was a nice way to kind of close out the month before Spider-Tember, and we'll let you know what that is later. It's coming. Hashtag Spider-Tember is coming. But we have a lot of crazy shows planned. It's a nice palate cleanser, getting back to our roots.
A little bit. I mean, we're not reviewing an episode of a TV show, but we're bullshitting. Just me and you taking it back to the roots of when me and you were in my car, going to a comic book store.
Yeah,
talking about comics and movies and shit. We're just going to record it now.
And in that vein, listener, this episode, we will be ranking the movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. I forgot.
Yeah, well, I've already forgot what we were doing. We're supposed to get right into it.
Yeah, well, and we're ranking the Marvel Cinematic Universe through Phase 2, which basically every podcast and website is doing.
Oh, my God, everybody is fucking doing this right now.
But we need to fucking throw in our 2 cents.
Why not? There's room for more.
Yeah.
There's always room for another.
Yeah.
So, we got a lot to fucking talk. Enough with the bullshit. Listener, there's going to be show notes. You can find all the show notes at jockandnerd.com/35. So.
I don't know. That made me laugh.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad I could make you laugh.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
All right. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get into the news.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
So I thought we could give the listener a little update of the upcoming superhero TV shows. Kind of like, you know.
That is our roots.
It's a whole theme. That's our roots. Yeah. We talk about the movies, talk about the TV shows. Superhero TV season is about to start.
We're still figuring out if we're going to do weekly episodic reviews.
We'll have to do something.
We'll figure it out.
I think people enjoyed those.
Yeah, that's how we got our listenership.
Yeah, we got to.
That was our base, our roots.
I know. We can't forget the little people.
No, we can't forget where we came from.
No. And so, I miss those. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting back to that after a summer. Or just doing whatever.
Should I clue the listener in on what we're thinking about doing?
You could clue me in too. What are we thinking about?
instant reactions after the show. So we'll record right after the show ends or right after me and you both watch it. Yeah. Not together because we don't live together.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll jump on. And
you'll get a fresh reaction rather than us watching all the shows and then waiting a couple days and writing everything down and trying to re-remember everything.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll try it.
We might try it.
See how it works. Yeah. Only thing I fear is that, like, it's going to be a little disjointed. Like, we won't be able to refer to other things that we talked about maybe that we cut before.
We'll do one episode and see how it
goes. We're definitely going to try it. I think it'll help the workflow and
make things a lot easier on you.
It's just too much note-taking. Yeah. Good God. Anyways.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Let's start with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
What came out recently was Season 3 synopsis.
Okay.
Pretty much telling you what's going to happen. What is going to happen? Well, it starts months later. Basically, Coulson's figuring out how to work with one hand. I heard he will get a robotic arm, probably.
This whole season is about him trying to figure out how to work with
one hand. Well, when we pick up, and Agent May is still on vacation.
Okay.
She's not back. Nobody knows where she is. Bobby Morse is recovering from being fucking tortured by Ward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm reading it now. They're dealing with the inhuman threat because of the Terrigen Mist at the end.
Yes.
Got spread into
Remember the fish oil?
Yeah.
So, and Fitz is also just obsessed with finding what happened to Simmons. Like, that, to me, is I'm so curious.
And then there's also a new government organization that's going toe-to-toe with S.H.I.E.L.D.
This one's interesting. They're called the ATCU, the Advanced Threat Containment Unit.
Then there's also Simmons got taken over by the Kree Monolith at the end of the season.
Right,
one,
so Fitz is going to be trying to figure out what that is. This ATCU is not from the comic books.
No.
So they're going to go – maybe the speculation is this ties into something in Civil War, much the way they couldn't really – they had to call Hydra Centipede, remember, before the first Captain America Winter Soldier in season one. And there's some new cast members too.
New Inhumans.
Matthew Willig, are you familiar with this guy? You're a jock. You should be familiar with his pedigree. He's an ex-NFL player who's an actor now.
I have no idea.
You don't know Matthew Willig?
No.
He's been cast as Lash, who's this huge...
He kind of looks like Lash.
Dude, look how big he is. He played for the Jets, the Falcons, the Packers, the Rams. You don't know this guy?
I mean, there's millions of players.
You're a really bad jock, my friend.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I said it. But now he's done a lot of TV and movies.
Oh, good.
Like, he's in Grimm. Anyways, Lash is like this inhuman who feels entitled and who wants to make sure that these new inhumans deserve this power.
Right. There's this culture in the inhuman in society that you need to earn going through the mists. And he's a protector of that culture.
This guy's monstrous, and if he doesn't think that you are deserving of the powers, he will just fucking take you out.
He should.
Yeah.
I don't know if he should. That's how he feels.
There's another Inhuman named Joey who is joining, and then the one weird thing is their leader, they've not told us her name in the show. She's played by Constance Zimmer, but it's the only one cast member that they've said that it's someone kind of famous.
A new Inhuman leader?
No, it's the leader of the ATCU.
Oh, okay.
So they're saying that she's a no-nonsense, highly skilled, and mysterious leader who is someone famous from the comics, and they're not letting out who it is. So that's kind of interesting.
Abigail Brand.
Who?
Abigail Brand. Leader of
Sword. So you know what? ATCU could turn into Sword.
Maybe.
That's not bad.
That's just my guess.
I like the casting of Lash, dude. That guy is huge.
Don't forget, and they didn't mention this in the synopsis, but Ward was like kind of running Hydra.
Well, yeah, the other thing they kind of say is they're waiting for like the next move from Ward and Hydra. Basically, yeah, he's going to be gunning for them with all the ex-Hydra people he can find because he's pissed because they made him kill his girl.
Killed. What was her fucking name?
Agent 33?
Agent 33, that's right.
What was your real name? I can't remember. I fucking can't. That was a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
That was like months ago.
That was like 20 episodes.
That was at least 20, 25 episodes ago. But another exciting news. Remember in April we talked about there was a rumor about a spinoff with Agent Bobby and Lance Hunter?
Apparently it's happening.
It's confirmed. It's going to be called Marvel's Most Wanted.
Right.
Now, do you think they're the most wanted or they'll be hunting the most wanted? That's all we really know about this.
Oh, man. I feel like they're going to be most wanted.
Nick Blood, Adrian Palicki. Do you think they're on the run or they're tracking people down? Marvel's Most Wanted. Very interesting.
I would assume that they're being on the run, but that title has nothing to do with, other than Adrian Palicki being Mockingbird, which is from the comics, that title has nothing to do with comics.
No.
And Hunter is kind of a new character, so. I don't know. I don't know if I'm interested or not, to be honest with you.
Oh, you're going to watch. You know you're going to watch it.
Of course I'm going to watch. I watched a season of Gotham.
But it's Marvel's .. That's all we want, you know, Peggy, right. Agent Carter, Marvels, whatever. Here you go. Here's my time and money.
I've heard that they don't know yet if it's going to be like a backdoor pilot or if they're greenlighting a real
backdoor pilot.
That
sounds hot, dude.
Oh, shit.
You sound like Rug Boy right now.
Oh, sorry. I gotta represent for Rug Boy. Also, yeah, we should mention it's going to be DayZ, Secret Warriors. They're gathering a group in Agent 3. Yada, yada, yada. S.H.I.E.L.D. returns September 29th.
Okay.
Not far away. Now, speaking of Gotham... Gotham season 2. Look, it sounds like they might have even heard a lot of our show, but they've heard a lot of the criticism and they've promised to fucking tighten the shit up over at Gotham. And I hope that they do. There's going to be a lot of villains.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce finds the cave, remember?
Right. At the end, he finds the cave.
Michael Chiklis is in it, adding a little bit of like
credibility.
Yeah, and some tough guy. I mean, he's pretty much just going to play the same character from like the Commission Shield.
Do you think he's just going to be the Thing in it?
He should be.
In that rubber suit.
He should be the Thing. And then CGI.
He punches.
He should be Vic Mackey as the Thing.
He punches Jerome, aka Joker.
Dude, that guy looks sick in the trailer. Have you seen the new trailer?
Yeah.
Where he's like laughing into the security camera.
He does look. I mean, he looks insane.
Oh,
sure.
I kind of like that. But I don't know about Bruce and Alfred finding – they said the cave is not the Bat Cave.
So what the hell – oh, so wow. So they just devalued the season
yeah,
finale.
No, that was a complete tease. They said you will find out stuff about Thomas Wayne. It's not the Bat Cave, but you're going to find out what Thomas Wayne is doing down there. Also, Ben McKenzie said at Comic-Con or at some panel, when we will see Batman on Gotham.
Oh, shit.
Did
you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
He said the very last scene, the very last episode – of the very last season.
Oh, no shit.
You will see him put the cowl on.
You know what that
is? Yeah, he was fucking with people.
Oh, was he?
No, but he said it at a panel. Like, that's the story. Ben McKenzie says, when we'll see Batman. Basically, he goes at the very end. Like, I'm okay with that if they close out the whole show.
Wasn't that how Smallville was?
I never watched that.
So I think Smallville, he put on the Superman
10 years, did he, at the end?
I think so. So that'd just be a cheap ripoff.
Yeah, well, end the show at the best point, of course. Why not?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
Gotham comes back September 21st, people, before that same week, I guess. Week.
That's a week before Agents.
Oh, that's two. A week before.
Yeah. There's a new, Supergirl trailer?
Supergirl trailer. Supergirl's also, I watched it. It's more of the same.
What do you mean you watch? Oh,
the trailer. Okay. But they showed, there's an alien with an axe. Like, there's some solid action, serious action in this. And I'm like, oh, maybe.
I don't remember who was it Weinstein?
Yeah.
That told us, Supergirl might actually be
pretty. Yeah, yeah. Scott was into that over Gotham.
Yeah.
But
I would say that. I mean, it has the same producers as The Flash.
Yes,
team
he said
that.
He was digging Arrow the Flash. And yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to watch it. I think I've decided.
You think you're going to watch it?
I think you're going to watch it.
Of course you're going to watch it.
But there's some good action. That starts October 26th and then moves to Mondays after that.
We definitely have to give Supergirl at least two or three episodes
because
we know the pilot's probably going to suck.
Yeah, yeah. You can't.
Because pilots always suck.
Yeah, no. You got to get past the pilot. Give it a couple episodes.
Right.
We might end up really liking it. I don't know.
Probably. You probably end up liking it.
I like everything.
You like everything. Except Gotham. You didn't like Gotham?
Oh, my God. Gotham really rubbed me the wrong way.
Fantastic Four.
I didn't like Fantastic Four.
We don't need to talk about that any
further.
Wow.
No?
No.
We don't need another fifth.
This will be the fifth episode to talk about that.
I could talk about that for hours. Moving on to Arrow.
Yeah.
We got to mention how awesome Stephen Amell is. This feud with Stardust. The wrestling match.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun, dude.
We didn't watch it, though.
Did you see it, though? Did you see the clip?
I showed you the clip.
Oh, yeah.
Of him jumping off.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all I had.
Dude, apparently that's the first, celebrity wrestler ever.
No, get the fuck out of
here. That's what people were saying.
No. That's
first untrained coming in from nowhere to do this?
There's been tons of
celebrity
wrestlers.
Who? Name me one.
Do you remember that Hulk Hogan movie with
Who? Debo? He doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean Terry?
Yeah, Terry.
Yeah.
Do you remember Debo from Friday?
No.
No.
Friday?
Friday with Ice Cube.
Okay.
Remember Debo?
Yeah.
He's wrestled in stuff before.
Oh, he has?
Because of his movie career.
As himself?
Yes.
With his own name?
Tons of celebrities have wrestled. Yeah.
But has any celebrity jumped off the goddamn turnbuckle, off the mat onto the concrete like that?
I'm pretty sure it has happened before.
That was pretty badass. However, I did notice he looked a little soft and pudgy compared to those guys.
Those guys are jacked.
I thought Stephen Amell was pretty jacked on the show.
He is in comparison to Felicity.
Yeah. Compared to, Diggle's jacked compared to, who's another guy on there? Brandon Routh? He's kind of jacked. But, dude, next to, who was his tag team teammate? What was that guy's name?
Neville.
next to him, I was like, Amel looks a little pudgy. Like, what's going on?
Those guys are like bodybuilders.
I mean, that's their job, yeah, that's obviously. Their job.
I mean, he's supposed to stay in shape too, but
yeah,
he doesn't need to look big next to Felicity.
No. He also, have you caught any of his live Facebook posts?
No.
He does these live videos. He's like really down to earth, dude. He'll jump on Facebook, take questions, record a live video. He talked about this. He talked about how him and Stardust are raising money for a charity. And this kind of what this whole thing was. And he's like, the story's not over. We still have unfinished business. But it was literally like you were just sitting down chatting with him one-on-one. The guy's kind of cool.
I think he's a big WWE fan.
Yeah, I think he really likes it. Anyways. I mean,
these questions were more for Mark Allen Fishman from Munchie.
I know, I know. I meant to talk about it that – well, that match hadn't happened then.
No, we didn't know.
Anyways, Arrow Season 4, what are we going to see? We're going to see some new headquarters.
Okay.
There was concept art. It looks really – look at that.
It looks like S.H.I.E.L.D.'s – that plane they had?
Oh, on the Quinjet?
Not the Quinjet.
Oh, the bus.
The bus.
The bus.
It looks like the bus.
It's very – it's like there's a round table. It's very nice and it looks –
why do they need that many chairs?
I don't know. Who is that for?
There's only like 5 or 6 people.
But is it like a nod to like the Justice League to sit everyone down at a round table?
And discuss important things.
We've talked about the new costume. The costume looks badass.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right?
It's just green and without any sleeves. Am I just being negative?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Continue. Arrow will premiere Wednesday, October 7th.
Cool.
Basically, he's going to be Green Arrow. Roy outed himself. You know, he can't. They're promising a lighter tone also. They're promising to embrace the comic a little more to change this season's tone.
Because he's been Batman for the past
3 years. Yeah, how about you have some fun with it? So in terms of villains, we have Damian Dark coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Played by, what's his face? Neil McDonough. Duggan, remember?
Yeah, yeah. He's not a big villain in the comics, but the Hive thing is a big villain.
Well, yeah, to tie him with Hive is very interesting. Merlin will be back, John Barrowman.
Do you know anything about Hive? All I know about Hive is from Young Justice, and there's a bunch of people dressed up as bees, but they're not actually bees, and they're humans. And there's
was that what it was in Young Justice?
There's like Queen Biala.
Oh, yeah, remember? Queen Biala was awesome. Yeah. Wait, she was the leader of Hive? I thought they were more of like an organization, like a corporate business thing.
I don't know.
Like an AIM or something.
I always felt like they were like a Middle East terrorist organization.
Oh, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with – well, there is a lot wrong with being a Middle East terrorist organization, but that's just how I got the vibe I got from –
if you're good at your job, you're good at your job. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck? I don't know what I just said. What happened?
I don't know.
I blacked out.
John Barrowman will be back as Merlin.
He's back again. Okay.
Baron Blitzkrieg?
I don't know who that is.
But
I'm sure they'll make him look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be – Arrow, hopefully it bounces back. We've talked about this plenty of times. Arrow Season 3 was a little iffy. Terrific?
Yeah, Mr. Terrific and Anarchy also.
Do you think Mr. Terrific's character on the show will have a T painted on his face? Like,
hey, I've missed it too. He'll be auto-tuned the whole time. And I'll be like, dude, what's wrong with your voice?
What is his power?
I've had it. His power is that his voice has been altered permanently by an auto-tune machine. Now, I don't know. Mr. Terrific.
Who knows? We'll find out.
He's an employee of Palmer Technologies.
I love how you're like, he's someone.
He's someone. He's someone working at Palmer Technologies. He's very smart and athletic.
Okay.
And
he'll get a costume and he'll paint a T on his face.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess they're both second. Him and Anarchy are kind of like secondary Batman villains also.
No, he's always been a hero.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, Anarchy is the villain.
Anarchy is a villain. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's about it.
Wednesday.
When is that coming
out?
What
did I say? Wednesday, October
7th.
The Flash now. Holy crap. This one, I think everyone is looking forward to this. Yeah. There's a shitload of people. Let's just start with who's going to be on. Again, this, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., starts 6 months after the season finale. 6 months after Barry running into the fucking wormhole.
Find out what happened in that 6 months?
They said in the thing that you will find out through the course of
flashbacks.
The season.
They're going to do the flashbacks.
So that's interesting that they don't, you know, start right where it ended. But I'm excited. Of course, we have Teddy Sears playing Jay Garrick,
mm-hmm.
Flash of Earth 2. Chantel Van Santen as Detective Patty Spivot, new love interest.
Is that an African-American?
It sounds like it, right?
Look it up. We're being stereotypical, aren't we? It sounds like it.
What? Watch, it's like a
white lady.
See, it's a white girl. See, people, never judge a book by its cover.
Chantel, that's a pretty name.
Yeah, that's
beautiful. She's nice. She's a good looking white girl.
That's a good that's gonna be interesting love triangle with Iris.
Iris, yeah.
Annoying ass Iris. Hopefully won't be as annoying.
Oh, Adam Smasher.
Adam Smasher, played by WWE superstar Adam Copeland, known as Edge.
I'm familiar with Edge, yeah.
And I guess that's in the premiere episode of season two. He'll be in there. Adam Smasher's pretty cool. Wally West, dude.
Yeah.
We're gonna see Wally West. Cast is Divergent series star Keenan Lonsdale.
He's a younger kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably – that's good. And speaking of younger, almost unknowns, Jesse Quick, the character of Jesse Quick, who's a speedster, will be played by Violet Bean, who is – I don't think she's done any television.
Oh, that's a girl.
Yes. Yes. Jesse Quick is like from Earth 2. She's Johnny Quick and that other – she's their daughter in Earth 2. So that's interesting how they're going to – apparently she has a connection with Zoom. So she's going to have to – she'll be dealing
I saw that the main villain is Zoom.
It's going to be Zoom. It's going to be Hunter's Element.
How is that any different than Reverse Flash?
Here's how it's different. Zoom is faster than all of them. He's faster than Reverse Flash. He's faster than Barry. And I believe Jay Garrick is the slowest out of all of them.
Isn't Hunter Zolomon already Reverse Flash? Isn't that like the moniker?
These are two. There's many Reverse Flashes. Zoom is different. Zoom has a blue streak. They're all color coded. So this is just it's someone even. I feel like Barry's going to need what's his name? The Reverse Flash's help to stop Zoom.
Remember what Rugboy told us about that yellow streak from the Flash?
Oh yeah, don't get behind him, people.
Oh shit, Jockey Nerd.
For those that haven't heard that episode, it's urine.
Also, we have a kind of obscure Firestorm villain named Tokamak.
No idea. No comment.
Played by his name is Henry Hewitt. Played by Damore Barnes.
Okay.
So meaning we'll probably see what's their name again? Firestorm.
Then there's also I see on there Dr. Light.
Dr. Light. Who's Dr. Light?
Do you remember when I let you borrow Identity Crisis?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He. I think it was him that raped Sue Dibney.
That's right, Dr. Light. That was that.
Oh shit.
And he got
Dr. Nerd.
Awkward situation.
That's a little awkward.
But that is a great book. Identity Crisis is amazing.
That is a fun. Book. Brad. That's not a fun book actually. It's a good book, but it's
Brad Meltzer, right? Brad Meltzer, writing.
Yep.
And we'll see, the Flash's new costume will be like what we saw in the future Flash, the white behind the thing. It looks
behind the logo.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks all right. Yeah, it looks good.
All right.
Yeah, it'll look good. Should we move on to Luke Cage?
Yes. Well,
when is the Flash coming out again?
Flash season 2 premiere Tuesday, October 6th.
Sweet.
So that week you got Flash and Arrow coming back.
And probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Whew. And Gotham.
Yeah, well, that's Supergirl. The week before.
I mean, but I'm saying we'll have everything.
Oh, that'll already be on.
That'll be the worst episode of this Jock and Nerd podcast.
Oh, my God.
It'll be 4 hours
long. The premieres of everything? That's going to be a rough one.
Yeah.
This just came out. Also, Luke Cage gets an unofficial pilot summary.
Plot summary.
Right. And the main villain possibly revealed.
What was his name again? Willie Stryker.
That's right. Basically, it's a former friend of his, the guy who kind of framed him and sent him to prison in the show.
Right.
And
so this is more of a personal conflict than let's compare it to Daredevil.
I like it. Yeah.
Where Daredevil was the guy that some unknown Wilson Fisk who Matt Murdock had no connection
That's
to.
That's true. Yeah.
So this is a little more personal. So it's a little
different. I love that. I always love when a lot of Spider-Man villains are like that. That someone in Peter's background.
Right. Willie Stryker is Diamondback.
Diamondback, that's it. So the show is, Luke Cage, gang member, framed for a crime, in prison. He goes for some medical experiment. Of course, it goes bad. Right. Gives him super strength and bulletproof skin, which is awesome.
Geek boner.
So using his powers, he escapes, becomes a hero for hire. His enemy, Willie Stryker, an old friend from Harlem, they used to do crimes together. And they both fell for the same woman, who's going to be Reva Connors. And that led to their falling out, but it was Willie who framed Luke and got him in prison. So there's your beef. There's your setup. Sounds great, man.
I wonder how they're going to get 13 episodes out of that.
Well, they've also cast Elfrie Woodard, which is, again, a great – she's an amazing actress.
I've heard they've also
as a major villain.
Cottonmouth or something?
Oh, yeah. Cottonmouth will be another one. Yeah. I mean, so I believe in – Jessica Jones, there'll be flashbacks with Luke Cage.
Because they dated in the comics.
Yeah, and so then that will – I'm loving this already, man.
Well, I think Luke Cage will be on Jessica Jones
in
this one or two episodes.
Yeah, and not just the flashback. Not just the flashback episodes.
Well, I mean, that counts.
Okay, yeah.
That counts as being on the show.
Yeah, it counts.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
So they're gearing up for their Netflix.
Now, you showed me this next thing.
So this – I feel this is important to mention. It's part of the DCCW universe.
Right.
It is an animated short feature called Vixen. You guys, yes. I don't know if you heard about this. It just premiered on CWC.
On the app, yeah.
And online.
Online, okay.
Yeah, you could just – here's the thing. This is kind of like their Netflix thing. What they're doing is Vixen – who is a character from the comic books. I believe she showed up in like Justice League Detroit or something. They're showing 5-minute episodes, 6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 30-minute episode.
Right.
But the Flash and Arrow are in it, voiced by Grant Gustin and Stephen Amell.
I love how you're telling me this. I saw it.
What'd you think of it? You guys, I have a link in the show notes, shotgunner.com/35. Check it out. It's 5 minutes.
It was 5 minutes, so it was an easy watch. I watched it on my phone, and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
I mean, the action was good. The animation was solid.
It's
good DC animation.
Right away, you were hooked because you could hear – you heard the Arrow and Flash music. And yeah. You knew that, oh, this is connected to the TV shows, except it's a cartoon. This is kind of weird.
Well, I like this because there's a link to this article by Forbes, which the headline is Vixen is more important than Batman v Superman to DC and Warner Brothers. And
a little hyperbole.
Well, his argument is this is where they can try out stuff.
Yeah.
You know, inexpensively, not pay for a lot of special effects and people. And then if it works, if it hits, they can port it right over.
Show.
Yeah. It's kind of like their proof of concept playground for characters. Now, I'm excited. If this goes good, we could see lots of awesome things. But
do you think this is a proof of concept for a live action show or a cartoon?
I don't know. I mean,
because that's not the same. Even though it's in that universe. Okay, yes, the cartoon does well, but then you have to get actors and actresses to actually do this stuff. I don't know. I'm always skeptical, but this is the 5 minutes you showed me were good, but I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. It's different for sure.
They're trying to attract a younger audience almost, you know?
Yeah, but then it's on the app and the website, so then how is that younger audience going to get to
it? You've never seen a 3-year-old use a fucking iPad? They know it automatically. Yes.
Wow.
Dude, my little nephews, I pull out my phone and like they just know you're supposed to pray. I'm like, how did you know how to do that? It's crazy.
Kids
they're born. They come out of the womb with earbuds and an iPod.
Yeah. Beats by Dre.
Beats by Dre is right. Ooh, literally.
Oh, shit.
Have you seen that Straight Outta Compton movie?
No, I'm dying to see it.
I you love hip-hop.
I know. I got to see it. I heard it's pretty good. I heard it's a little Hollywood-y whitewashed. Of course, Dre didn't want – you mentioned Beats by Dre. He didn't want that part of the story getting out.
What?
Where he
– Well, didn't he co-produce it?
Yeah.
Him and Ice Cube?
Yeah.
So.
Well, there was an article on Gawker by this woman pretty much saying, here's what they left out of Straight Outta Compton. All the times Dre beat me.
Who said that?
This woman who wrote the article.
Hello.
Yeah. She used to hang out with them. Yeah.
What's the most famous song? Straight Outta Compton.
Fuck the Police, Straight Outta Compton, Compton, Express Yourself. There's tons of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had Eazy-E in there.
Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, MC Yella, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
That's where all these guys started. These guys,
Did Snoop ever cross over with them? Or
no, because they were East Coast. Snoop's West Coast.
No, they were
West Coast.
They're all West Coast.
Yeah, no, but they predated. I'm sure they hung out with Snoop.
Yeah.
But they were West Coast. You're right. I'm an idiot. But when the first time you heard Fuck the Police or even Straight Outta Compton, you were like, holy shit, what is – can they say that? What the fuck is this? I remember – and then that's – you know, all this caused the parental label to be implemented.
Parental advisory.
Yeah.
That was a cool one. I remember in grade school.
Two Life Crew, Luke Skywalker.
And I'd buy those CDs and I'd feel like a badass.
Right? You were like, ooh, I'm buying something. Here's the thing about Two Life Crew. They don't even have songs. They just yell out fucking offensive, like racy shit. Like that's the lyrics to the song.
Was Two Life Crew and – NWA, were they around with Naughty by Nature too?
Naughty by Nature was a little bit later. Was early 90s.
Because Naughty by Nature, all the songs I remember are very poppy.
Yeah, Naughty by Nature is great, dude. I love Naughty by Nature. Yeah.
How the hell did we get into rap?
I have no idea. Check out Hip Hop Family Tree by Ed Biscorn. Anyways, guys, check out Vixen. It's interesting to see what they're going to do with the CWC space with their characters. And finally, huge news, kind of tying into our theme of ranking the Marvel MCU movies this episode, Captain America Civil War posters and rosters have been confirmed. There's some awesome concept art out there.
I think it was concept art that got leaked. Now, these aren't necessarily posters.
Well, it is. Yeah, it, I mean, but they're apparently they're, it's official. I bet Andy Park worked on this. At Andy Park Art on Twitter, tell him how awesome it is. He's their main concept character designer.
You want
there.
Me to tell the audience what's in these posters?
Yeah, so some of our teams were wrong. Describe the posters. Link in the show notes, but let's start with this one.
Cap's team. So you got Cap. You got Hawkeye.
Now, Hawkeye's got a new cool suit.
New suit.
A little bit of blue, a little bit of purple. It looks awesome. He has one full sleeve, one half sleeve.
Right. You got Agent. Is that – what's her name?
That's Sharon Carter.
What was her name, though? Agent.
What number was she?
Fucking A. Agent. She's not.
She wasn't Agent, fucking A, that's for sure.
She's not Agent
13.
Yes. Sharon Carter, which I was not expecting to see in that poster.
That came out of nowhere.
Then you got Falcon, and you got Red Wing in the background.
Which I love how they're doing Red Wing. It's so smart because I love the bird Red Wing. But like for him, just imagine him flying in his little buddy drone, and he could send it anywhere, and it could see everything. That's fucking badass.
Well, the bird Red Wing was – I mean, he had like a telepathic connection, which is kind of stupid.
Plus, they've added a little bit of red to kind of bring like the red costume from the comics.
You got Winter Soldier.
And we have Winter Soldier.
Do you notice on Hawkeye's shoulder who that is?
Oh, crap. There he is. I did not. You have Scott Lang Ant-Man on Hawkeye's shoulder. That's brilliant. You know what? I saw a lot of things about people want to see. I think there's a scene in the comic books where – or it's in the cartoon where Hawkeye shoots arrows and Ant-Man rides the arrow.
Oh, wow.
How cool was that going to be?
That's cool, yeah.
Geek Mooner. All the way. So, all right. That's the team. On this team, one flying person. All right.
And then on the other
side – let's go to Team Iron Man.
You got Iron Man. You got Widow. War Machine.
War Machine with a big-ass shoulder cannon. I think that's new.
Vision and Black Panther.
And we thought they were saying Black Panther was neutral. Black Panther is on Tony Stark's side.
Yeah,
I think he just has to be on the opposite side of Winter Soldier.
It looks like from the looks of these two teams, with these rosters, Iron Man's team is way stronger.
They have three flying people!
Well, they have Vision.
And what happened to Scarlet Witch?
So if you read that article on Screen Rant, which we'll link in the show notes, it says that Scarlet Witch will probably be on Cap's team and Spidey will probably be on Iron Man's team.
Yeah. There was some something leaked about Spider-Man fighting Captain America.
Right. So if you add Scarlet Witch to Cap's team, you make it a little more even. But right now, I mean, this is – look, I mean –
It's almost not fair.
They have five – I mean, they have like six regular people.
Although,
well, I mean, one guy can shrink and Cap is like a super soldier.
A well-used Ant-Man can be very advantageous.
Right.
You get him right into Tony's armor, bust it up.
Vision has like the soul gem in his head.
Dude, you can't stop the Vision, dude. You need Scarlet Witch to go up against the Vision because he is unstoppable. But yeah, it seems a little one-sided. Like, three flying people. Come on, that's not fair at all.
Yeah. Black Widow being on Iron Man's team is a little bit of a surprise.
That's interesting. Why do you think she's with Tony? Opposite, what would be her?
Maybe just as a plot point, it makes the conflict between her and Hawkeye more personal.
I think that's where they're going. And plus, people might be flipping back and forth. We
she
don't,
might be
you
a
know,
double agent.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch could be double agent. We don't know.
Right. So there's that. Should we get into ranking the movies, or do you have any more on this?
Well, it's just interesting how there's a lot of two big versus movies coming out next year.
Oh yeah,
everyone's gonna be fighting each other like all summer long.
That's part of the deal now. They're fighting each other.
And again, where does Mark Ruffalo fit into this? He was there in Germany. He was on the set.
It's been confirmed or unconfirmed, but people seem to have seen.
You know, General Ross is in the movie. Where is the Hulk?
Do you think he turns into Red Hulk and loses his mustache?
Oh man, that would be awesome. But
why does he lose his mustache when he? Can you imagine you hulking on and losing your beard?
Same reason why Hulk's pants stay on. Because comics.
Geek Mooner.
I think we should go on to ranking the movies.
All right. That's the news. We're going to move on. But first, a couple of massages.
Put that coffee down.
Calling all film fans. Want to add a little more fun to your podcast diet? Well, why not listen to the 365 Flicks podcast? We're the lads from Smallville, UK.
We love to bring you the latest news, our own special brand of meaningless movie nonsense, as well as a bunch of top fives you really won't care about.
I'm Kev.
I'm Chris.
We're Pissy.
We're fanboys.
We're having another beer.
We are the 365 Flicks Podcast.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Podomatic, and many, many others.
Also look for us on musingsofageek.com and wickedradionetwork.com.
Sick of listening to all those overpaid movie critics?
Then tune into the 365 Flicks Podcast, your vocal heroes of pissy opinion.
Do you like superheroes? Do you like comics? Do you like film? Do you like comics and films about superheroes? Well, then you're in luck, because we here at A Place to Hang Your Cape have everything for you. We've got reviews. We've got interviews. We've got list articles. We've even got a few videos coming up. Anything you could possibly want that's relating to superheroes, we have. A Place to Hang Your Cape, where superheroes go to hang their cape. The name is self-explanatory, really. I don't know why I have to explain it, but there you go. Find it at ap2hyc.com.
The H stands for H.
The H. Doc and Nerd. All right, now we're on to ranking the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the 12 films through Phase 2. And as I had mentioned before, everyone and their mother is doing this. So me and Imran, because we can't think of original ideas, we're doing it as well.
Well, this was you really wanted to do this.
No, actually, I really wanted to do
this. And it's fine. Yeah. It was a little bit trickier than I thought it was going to be.
I will start off, I will agree with that, and I'll start off by saying, in my opinion, all the Marvel films, there's not one bad Marvel film, in my opinion. I think they're all ranging from good to great.
Okay.
And I think they're all, there's a certain tone that they all kind of have that's, is fun enough that they're all rewatchable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you put that note in there that they're all rewatchable, and I was like, are they? But they all have...
In my opinion.
What they all have, like, one really cool scene that you kind of look forward to seeing, or a moment.
I know there's not one film where I'm like, yeah, that one really sucked, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Most of them, turn on the TV and watch, and I could sit through the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're great moments in most of them. All of them, yeah.
So for the most part, these films are all really good. So this was a lot harder than probably me and you thought.
I know, and so I had to, like, instead of writing it down, I had to put them on the little flashcard so I could rearrange them because I kept changing my mind.
I didn't come up with my full list until I sat down in this chair before the podcast.
Right? Yeah. Like, I kept flipping, and then I kept thinking of things, and I'm like, all right, no, we got to switch this one. I found this great graphic, listener, that it will be in the show notes.
That is so sweet. That
it kind of has all the movies in Phase 1, Phase 2 laid out, all the Phase 3 movies, their TV series, and their one-shots all in one awesome graphic, and I will give credit to whoever I stole this from once I figure out who I stole this from.
So
because I don't know. So how do you want to do this? We didn't tell each other.
We didn't tell. We haven't
each other's rankings.
No, we haven't discussed this at all. And I feel like the best way to do it is I will give you my 12. You comment and say where you would have had the film instead, and then we can recap maybe at the end. And then I was thinking after each film, I'll throw out the best part of each film, or the best shot, or as I described it in the show notes, the money shot, or the money scene, which made me, you know, happiest in that movie.
The
geek boner.
Oh, we could do the
geek boner
moment of the movie.
That's
what we'll call it.
All right, cool.
That's called making it up on the fly, people.
That's how you do it.
How you roll.
So,
okay, number 12, sir.
12.
What do you got?
So for 12, I don't think this will be much of a surprise. I have The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, shit.
When I play that, it means I have it in the same spot.
Oh, you have it in the same spot?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we both have it in the same spot. Here's why. It is kind of the redheaded stepchild of the MCU. A lot of these characters aren't really acknowledged. Edward Norton's no longer in the MCU, unfortunately. Overall, though, the film, if you watch it, in my opinion, it was very flat. And even the CGI fight... I don't think they were doing motion capture back then.
Yeah.
In 2008 with Edward Norton. So the CGI is already, to me, a little dated compared to Mark Ruffalo's Hulk.
I mean, it was the second MCU movie.
It was the second. So it came at a time when there was a wave of Iron Man and it was not promoted as highly. I don't know. I just walked out of the film. It was fun. Yeah. Like the last fight scenes were fun, but it wasn't like mind blowing.
You know, it was it was the first of these like, oh, we're rebooting this again already. Like, it was like the first one. And
there was a lot of confusion too.
Yes, because I don't think it was Ang Lee's movie was pretty recent.
Right.
And I gotta agree, I love Ed Norton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like he played it as likable as you want your Bruce Banner to be.
I think this is also the film that kind of proved that Hulk might not be the best character for a solo film. At least in this incarnation where he's running away and trying to be caught and trying to cure himself. No one wants to see that. No fan wants to see him cured.
That's a good point. Yeah. And we're great on the TV show, though.
Yeah,
like, that was every episode of the show was him running away and trying to figure out, you know, how to get away with things.
That's the weird part is you're always – the character that you're supposed to root for doesn't want to be what you're rooting for.
You just kind of want – I want to see in these movies, I want him to embrace the Hulk and know how to use it. And they kind of are started to do that finally.
Right.
That's the angle you need to go with.
The thing is if you hire an actor to do that, he's not – being himself for most of the film. So that's the catch 22.
What do you mean?
Meaning he's not playing, like when Edward Norton was on as the Hulk, that's not him acting anymore. So, you know, it's
how'd they do it with the Ruffalo? Like Ruffalo, perfect casting, first of all.
Well, I think he does the motion capture now.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Edward Norton was doing it. And if I'm wrong, you can email us at show@jockandnerd.com.
show@jockandnerd.com. Yeah, I mean, it was just overall kind of forgettable.
Yeah, it was just kind of flat.
Yeah.
Best scene in the movie for me was Abomination is swinging around the bell, and he's about to kill General Ross and Liv Tyler, who's playing Betty, and he goes, "Any last words?" And Hulk raises his fist and goes, "Hulk, smash!" And smashes the ground.
Yeah, that's the
geek boner.
Because you just want to hear him say that. But
you didn't hear him say that in the other film.
You know what, though? Like, for some really reason, Ang Lee's movie sticks with me.
You like Ang Lee's better?
I relate. I remember the panels and him swinging the tanks around, and the first time you saw him run through the desert and jump like in the multiple panel kind of layout. I don't know why that connected with that.
Him in the desert, they got that right.
Yeah,
they got the Hulk jumping.
That was more Hulk to me than a lot of things in this movie. Although I loved him on the run, starting that out the movie like that was great.
I mean, him in Brazil was cool.
Yeah,
I didn't like Ang Lee's movie just because that one was really depressing.
But the Hulk is depressing. It's a tragic monster story.
I didn't like Ang Lee's.
You know, you always feel bad for Bruce Banner.
I liked this film better than Ang Lee's.
The other one was more memorable.
But yeah, no, Ang Lee tried things.
Yeah.
This one was a lot more conservative. Ang Lee at least tried some
I'll
stuff.
Yeah, I'll agree. All right, number 11.
11, Thor the Dark World.
Oh, shit.
You got that, too?
I got that at 11, too. These are all last-minute placings.
Thor the Dark World isn't a bad film, per se, but the villain is kind of flat.
Yeah, it's one of the most useless villains out of all of these movies.
Yeah, he's useless. Jane Foster's just adoration for Thor is just so weird. There's no, you still don't feel like they have a connection.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth is good as Thor.
He's always good as Thor.
Loki's good.
Yeah.
Frigga getting killed. Who plays her? Renee Russo.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Her getting killed was a cool scene.
Plus, is this where we were introduced to Jamie Alexander Sif for the first time? Or was she in the first movie?
She was in the first movie. Yeah, she was in the first film.
I loved the part with the portal scene in the warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Where they, like, that was kind of cool. I loved the nine realms kind of
aligning
and all the craziness going through the worlds. Loki, of course, is probably the only thing that saves this movie.
Right.
Is the whole Loki storyline with Thor. And of course, what's his name's Asgard is gorgeous.
Yeah, Alan Taylor's Asgard is very nice.
You know, I think they got that part right.
It looks real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks a lot better. My money scene would have been, it's ridiculous, but when Thor walks into the train with the hammer, and everyone's looking at him.
He's in the subway.
Yeah, but that was funny. But the thing is, that last climactic battle, there was a ton of funny moments, so it took you out of how serious.
Yeah, it was quite jokey with like the goofy animals running by.
The animals, and then them sliding down the building.
But they were like, it was supposed to be huge world-destroying stakes,
right.
And you didn't really feel it.
No, you didn't feel
it. You're like, this like pale little elf guy, whatever, just knock him over.
I mean, I liked that they were fighting between realms, so they would fall into one spot.
Yeah, see, that shit was kind of fun, and like kind of seeing the peaks of the nine realms, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But fucking Malekith, dude. Malekith
was a waste.
What a waste.
Waste of a villain.
Like, the arm-cutting thing totally got me the first time I watched it.
Oh, yeah.
I bought it. I was like, oh, shit, of course it's Loki. And then that was, like, establishing where... Actually, that was the last time we see Loki.
You know what? I'm going to change my money shot. It is when Loki cuts off Thor's hand. And
that was
like,
a great...
Fuck!
Yeah, that was a great misdirection.
Him again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can change my money shot.
Oh, shit. Geek boner.
All right, there we go.
All right. So,
but still at 11.
11. 11 for you too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So far we got Hulk 12, Thor 2, 11. Number 10.
Iron Man 2.
Wah, wah, wah.
Where do you have it?
Where do I have Iron Man 2?
Yeah.
8.
Okay. So we're not too far.
Not but. Too far.
All right. Here's why I have Iron Man 2. The movie in the middle with the shield thing gets real. It just totally derails the movie. Also, Tony is dying in this movie, and it's not very serious. He's not; it's not handled very seriously. His blood toxicity—he keeps checking it.
Yeah, that's
but yet
right.
He's like, it's not like the way they play it. It's with that scene in the middle of S.H.I.E.L.D. interfering. It kind of just derails the whole momentum of the film.
This is one of the rare cases where the second movie is not the strongest one of the franchise.
A lot of people don't like Iron Man.
Yeah. But usually, if you think about The Dark Knight, Spider-Man 2, X-Men 2, the second movie is when you've gotten through the exposition of the origin, and now the shit hits the ground running.
Right.
You know, I appreciate that Favreau is still directing. What's-his-name was awesome as Whiplash, Mickey Rourke.
They didn't see – that's another reason I didn't like the film. They didn't utilize him enough. He was another one-note villain that was just mad.
Yeah.
He was mad because his dad got his invention stolen.
Yeah, it was very thin. Yeah. It was very thin.
Apparently there was a lot cut out too on Mickey Rourke.
Oh, really?
A lot of scenes that were cut.
Because then you had – what was the other villain?
Justin Hammer.
Oh, that's right.
But Mickey Rourke even – I think he's quoted as saying he doesn't want to work with Marvel anymore after this.
Oh, shit, because –
just a bad experience.
Learning the Marvel method, people. Right. Some people don't like the Marvel method of anything.
This was also the film they tried to jam in like a world building into this film, similar to how Amazing Spider-Man 2 kind of failed. Is they try to jam in, oh, there's Avengers, there's the S.H.I.E.L.D., there's Thor out there.
Also kind of like Avengers 2, it was trying to serve too many –
a little
people.
Bit. Yeah.
But I have it higher because isn't this the first Black Widow?
It is.
That's why I have it higher.
Okay. Fair enough.
Because that, you know, that was exciting and she nailed that role.
You also got War Machine in costume for the first time. So you saw some
with,
cool shit.
And that was what's his name?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. No, yeah. No Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
Do you like Terrence Howard or Don Cheadle better?
I don't know. I love Terrence Howard as an actor, but I think Cheadle does a great job.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. Right. I got no problem with it.
So my money shot, I had to debate. It was either when he put on the briefcase suit or when Don Cheadle and War Machine and Iron Man are back-to-back in fighting the drones.
I think that's that one. That's and a great – it's a great set piece and you're just like – it's awesome. You're waiting for the big battle.
Yeah.
And that's like the buddy moment.
Yeah. That was awesome.
And then you just see them get to unleash like every missile they have.
Yeah. War Machine just firing guns.
It's awesome. I love that. Love that.
That was a cool scene. So,
all right.
Should we move on to number 9 for me?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll recap yours at the end so that the audience.
Yeah, it's going to get confusing. Okay. What do you got for 9?
9, I have Thor.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow, we matched on that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thor, fun movie. I think the reason I have this higher than Iron Man is Loki's performance.
Yeah, plus the introduction of Loki
and him being a villain and tortured soul sort of thing really worked in this film. The reason I have it so low though is again it gets kind of derailed in the middle by S.H.I.E.L.D. interfering.
Always. Like so this is the fourth one, you know, and you kind of notice a trend as they go on, they got to either the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing is the whole movie,
yeah.
Or it's like fucking shoehorned into like we're trying to invent these villains and characters, but oh, we got to do the S.H.I.E.L.D.
thing. We got to serve this master of S.H.I.E.L.D. We got to tell you, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s around.
They figure out this balance in phase, the long ass phase 3 that lasts 10 movies.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not around anymore, so they don't.
That's true.
I mean, you had the weird Hawkeye cameo, which was it felt shoehorned in. Remember when he goes on the
this was like when you started to realize right about here is when you start to realize that the MCU is becoming a thing.
Big, yeah.
They are, you know, isn't Coulson in that one?
Coulson's in this again,
and they're dropping hints like you know it's Hawkeye without calling him a Hawkeye. So that was exciting.
Right.
Kenneth Branagh bringing his Shakespeare elements really helped the whole believing in Thor. Because I felt he played it just right. Because I was never really into Thor. It's hard. It can be silly.
Kenneth Branagh's just name alone. You're like, oh, Kenneth Branagh's directing? Oh, shit. Anthony Hopkins.
And Anthony Hopkins? You're like, is this fucking...
Although Anthony Hopkins, a lot of people think he sleepwalks through these
Films. It's a very easy role for him. He can literally do that in his sleep. Come on. He's not. It's the man played Hannibal Lecter. This is not challenging.
No, not at all.
But, you know, the look of it was – it emoted a lot of Jack Kirby designs, you know, and that was great. But you're right. Overall, if it weren't for, like, Chris Hemsworth and Loki.
Yeah, wouldn't it be that? And the love story felt crazy rushed.
Yeah. Well, they got to get the Jane Foster in. And you're right. Why do they even like it? Why is she mad that he's gone? You guys never even hung out or did anything or shared – you shared a meal.
You shared a meal by the fire.
Yeah, had a coffee together.
I mean, I know he's really good looking, but Jesus
Christ. Back off, you pushy woman. Now, not to sidetrack this, but it made me think of, like, the announcement recently that – the Thor Ragnarok writer Chris Yost is writing a Masters of the Universe movie.
Oh, no kidding.
He-Man, right? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you take these Thor movies, this is fucking He-Man.
It is.
This is He-Man. Chris Yost also, I think he wrote a lot of comic books. He wrote Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
I think he's done a lot of TV, too, animated series.
What else? He wrote another Thor, didn't he?
I think he had a hand in Dark World. Christopher Yost.
Oh, yeah. He wrote the Dark World screenplay. So I feel like he's perfect for handling He-Man. Now, what they need to know is just don't fucking call him He-Man.
That's weird.
Just call him Prince. He's Prince Adam, who just happens to, like, turn into this guy with powers with a sword.
What they'll do is they'll probably throw it jokingly. I'm like, what are you, some sort of He-Man?
Dr. Doom over here. Yeah, yeah, but you know what? No. That line, retroactively in Fantastic Four, I have to take back my little snide comment because – If you notice, he was supposed to be called Domashev in the script.
Yeah.
Every time they say his name, Victor Von Doom, you don't actually see anybody say the words with their mouth.
They had to edit it in post.
It's all voiceover cut. So when she originally, in the original whatever movie, made that joke, it was
more appropriate.
Yeah, it was because his name was Domashev. And so I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But, man, that's some soppy fucking shoehorning in there.
Wow, you've really sidetracked.
Sorry, I went three deep. Back to this. I went from He-Man to Fantastic Four.
You want to go over the money shot for me?
Yes, money shot in Thor number one.
So when he finally gets his hammer back, when it's like he gets killed by the Destroyer and he's finally worthy and the hammer comes flying through the air and it lands in his hands and he picks it up and he's in full suit. With that lightning striking the hammer, I was like, oh, shit. He's back.
Geek boner.
I forgot about the Destroyer.
That fucking dude was
awesome.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
Cool. I liked Coulson being like, what is this, Stark's tech?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was something that it was not, obviously. So, I mean, it had some good moments.
You know, it started the whole, you know, the hammer in the desert and Coulson and S.H.I.E.L.D. being a thing. Like, that was all starting, and you're like, woo. This is starting to be an actual shared universe. It's very exciting.
Marvel was still trying to strike the balance of world building as well as making a quality film. So yeah. I think this was like their rough patch.
Sometimes they get it better than others, as we'll see. All right, number eight.
Number eight, Iron Man 3.
So
where do you have Iron
that's
Man 3?
Where I had Iron Man 2.
So you had them flipped.
Yeah.
So this you had Iron Man 3 at number 10.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you had those flipped.
Yes.
Iron Man 3, I had it ranked higher than Iron Man 2 because I felt like they tried something with the Mandarin. Now, a lot of people hated that. But I think in context of the movie, it kind of worked. And it was a legit surprise.
Yeah, it was.
It didn't get leaked.
It was.
It was a legit surprise. I mean, granted, I would have liked to have seen, what's the fucking face?
Ben Kingsley
play the Mandarin.
Here's the thing, though. They didn't really spoil the Mandarin. He's still out there.
I feel like that's reactionary, though. I feel like they did that one shot just because of the negative reaction.
Really?
I don't think they were planning on
it. It's interesting how they can...
Because the Mandarin, I mean, they're not going to make an Iron Man 4 anytime soon.
No.
Yeah, so the Mandarin wasn't really part of their plans.
That's a good point.
So that's where the movie, that's why I have it kind of low, is because there was so much potential with the Mandarin character and having it, making this battle more personal and relating it to maybe the first movie. You know, if you would have related it to Iron Man 1 and been like, the Mandarin's been behind you even getting your powers. He was the one that attacked you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's part of the Ten Rings. He's the one that sent those people to attack you. Then it would have made this conflict a little more personal.
What's your
geek boner
moment?
Geek boner moment? Oh, man, it's got to be when he calls in the house party.
Yeah.
And all the suits arrive and you're just like, holy shit, look at all the suits.
That, you know, and that was, I have it lower. I love that. I love seeing the suits.
You have it lower, so.
I had it lower because, and really it was that whole 365 Flicks episode podcast.
Oh, what'd they say?
Well, remember they were trying to figure out what's worse, The Dark Knight Rises or Iron Man 3? And the more I thought about it, like, it's kind of really formulaic, like, and a lot of things don't make sense.
No.
Like, him telling them where he lives, and all the suits coming back, and then being destroyed again,
watched how it should have ended?
No. How does that one end?
So when he gives his address to the man, he's like, hey, this is my address.
Yeah.
He should have enacted the house party protocol then.
When the guy shows up with the thing,
he gave his address to a terrorist. You should have all your drones just circling your house.
Where were those fucking drones, anyways? Yeah. If everything got destroyed,
so
I mean the action was good, but it's the whole Shane Black. It's on Christmas. It's fucking Lethal Weapon again. I get it.
This is where people. That's why when people say all the Marvel movies are the same, I can pick a bone here. This is a Shane Black film.
Yeah, but all the Shane Black movies are the same. So,
right,
but it's a Shane Black film. It's not a Marvel movie.
There's a lot of dark humor, and it's on the Christmas, and then they have the little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like the little kid?
Well, I did. You know what? I liked how they enhanced Tony Stark's character and his – we got to find out a little bit more about his demons.
Yeah.
But
demons kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah.
He was – because he would joke all the time. So he was still like happy-go-lucky. Right. But then he'd be like, oh my God, I'm having an anxiety attack. Yeah. Don't say New York. Don't say New York.
There was just something – I don't know. I guess I wanted more. There's something missing.
It's a very divisive film.
The Pepper Potts thing. At first, like, it was a good twist. But then I'm like, oh, they made the – I don't know.
Want me to point out something funny?
Yeah.
You know when Pepper Potts, she falls into like a fiery death, supposedly?
Yeah.
And she emerges?
Yeah.
How does her sports bra not burn off?
No, it does not.
But why
the extremists helped keep all her clothes on. Listen, those sports bras are flame retardant now. They've had lots of incidents.
Oh, shit.
So now they're all trying at home, folks. Light your sports bra. You can't burn it.
So I feel like we've had 8 through 12 pretty similar. I mean, we had one movie switched.
Yeah,
I think
but
this is where
same,
we're going
to switch. The same movies.
I think this is where we're going to little go different
All
paths.
Right.
Number 7. I have – this is where I think we're going to switch.
Okay, let's find out.
Ant-Man.
Wah, wah,
I know you were going to have it higher.
Yeah.
All
right, go. Ant-Man, okay. They're the most recent entry into the MCU.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's middle of the road. That's not saying it's a bad movie.
No, this is middle tier. Yeah. These are all middle tier movies here.
Right. And I'm just basing this off of how I initially felt coming out of the movie theater.
Yeah, I like this that we're not using any box office numbers. And
no.
We don't care
right.
What did better. This is how the movies connected with us.
Right. I felt like the first half of the film was, I don't know, I didn't buy the relationship between Scott Lang and his daughter. I felt like there could have been more of that.
Yeah.
But the reason why I have it ranked higher than these other films is it's very ambitious in terms of the fight scenes are amazing.
Yeah.
In terms of being creative and ambitious. And the CGI, I mean, the CGI work is amazing as well. When he's little, that's
great.
Stellar work.
It's great.
And to make the ants not cheesy and relatable.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
See, you like this movie. What the fuck?
I liked all these movies. I'm just saying I like some movies better. But this is why I have it there.
Okay. I mean, I put it higher.
Where do you have it?
4.
Wow.
Yeah. Only because where this – the development hell kind of that this movie has been in, it could have easily went the route of Fantastic Four.
True.
The original – Edgar Wright has been working on this for 5, 6, 7 years.
Then you hire Peyton Reed last minute.
Just walks away.
And you hire Peyton Reed last minute.
And you get Adam McKay and who's the other dude? Paul Rudd and Peyton Reed.
Well, Paul Rudd was in, but
– yeah, no, but he helped – you get them to – take right. that, because clearly Edgar Wright wanted to make a crazy, fantasy, fantastical movie, almost like what Trank wanted to do with Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. Now, Peyton Reed and company tie in the humanity, the humor, the connection to with the comedy, with mm-hmm. family comedy. And I thought they like that movie was so much better than what it should have been.
No, I like and I respect that because you're factoring in all the development that had to go into this and the behind-the-scenes work, which is fine because there was no criteria in how we were supposed to write these. So yeah, if you're factoring
plus
in
it
all
introduces
the
microverse, which I think is going to be huge moving forward.
Good point. Very good point.
You saw some. You saw some other realms. You saw some crazy shit.
Right.
And it's just Ant-Man to me. He's a founding Avenger. Hank Pym is the founding Avenger. The Wasp is a founding Avenger.
I can't argue any.
It's about time these people need to be in the MCU. So. And I just love Paul Rudd, and it was just a great, small-scale, wonderful movie to me. Mm-hmm. I love those street-level – I've like I said before, I always love where it's grounded in reality, and then reality is just tweaked a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't like it when it's full fucking fantasy. I don't give a shit about your elves or your orcs or whatever the fuck. I don't. It means nothing. How am I supposed to relate to this?
Right.
But this you can relate to. Spider-Man you can relate to.
I get it. The only thing, the other thing that brought this down was Corey Stoll as a villain.
Yeah.
Yellow Jacket.
Yeah.
Another one-note villain.
Yeah.
Not just angry just to be angry. I mean, granted, he was angry at Hank Pym for not choosing him as the successor.
But it's another, like, opposite a villain of the hero thing, like they a lot of them do. But now that that bullshit's out of the way, they can have a lot of fun with Ant-Man, which is why I think it's very important, too.
My, you have.
Well, I'm just saying it was also a great way to end the phase two.
Yeah, it was a nice, as you like to say, palate cleanser.
Yeah, nice little in between, just like the show.
Money shot for me.
Yeah,
is when we saw Thomas the Tank Engine collide with Yellowjacket and fall over a ton in the commercials.
Yeah.
So my favorite was Thomas the Tank Engine being, what would you call it?
Embiggened?
Embiggened, yeah. Enlarged.
Yeah.
And flying through the house and his eyes are blinking. Yeah. He's on his side. I thought that was awesome.
Dude, mine was the whole microverse thing because I was just like, oh, this is trippy as fuck, dude. What is going on? And I'm like, I was trying to find an outline of Janet.
Yeah, she's
but
supposedly
there was so much shit. The kaleidoscope effect, it reminded me a lot of like 2001 where they're flying through space and you just kind of like – you just kind of let your eyes glaze over, and it's so trippy. It was a great experience.
Yeah, no, it was.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right, okay.
We're at 7.
Okay.
So number 6.
Number 6.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Booyah. This is weird, dude. We're very close, minus a couple things.
Captain America, the reason I have this ranked higher than Ant-Man is because I loved the goody-two-shoes nostalgia vibe, and they made it. Like he was goody two shoes, and he was.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked. It wasn't cheesy. It was the right level of cheesiness.
And I think a lot of that was Chris Evans. This was like a breakthrough role for him, man. Yeah. Who expected this from Chris Evans?
No.
His charming portrayal made that Go USA work really well.
Him being charming and being unwavering in his beliefs, but still being. You're like, oh, I can root for this guy.
I mean, he's still the only one who has. Clear motivations.
Right.
You know what he's about. He will always do the right thing.
He is uncompromising. He made doing the right thing like a cool thing.
Yeah. The special effects of him on skinny body.
Yes, that's awesome.
Every time I watch that movie, I just stare at him. I'm like, how did they do that? It looks amazing.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Because you really root for him. Like, you see this physical transformation and you buy it.
Right, exactly. You buy that and you just buy. I love – this is the first movie in the MCU where I – not the first, but one of the only movies in the MCU where I bought the relationship between Cap and the love interest being Haley Atwell.
Yeah.
That was like, and that was tragic at the end where he's like, I just want one more – you know, I'm trying to make the dance with you, and he kills himself.
Yeah.
Or not really.
Well, sacrifice.
Sacrifices himself, and she's sad. I thought that was like, oh, man.
I love how they kind of wove that into the Agent Carter TV show at the end for her closure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a solid movie.
I think that's what brings it down for me is the final I felt like Red Skull could have been a lot more than just an evil megalomaniac.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They could have done more with that character.
Yeah. They need to somehow bring him to the present.
And they had – who was playing him? What's that guy's fucking name from The Matrix? Hugo Weaving.
Oh, Hugo Weaving, who's amazing.
So much more potential. Yeah. You could have utilized that so much better.
But again, this is another example of like this universe now is getting – this was the fifth movie. And you're like, wow, they did a period piece. No, it was fifth. Look, it's right there.
Oh, yeah, fifth. You're right.
But like to do a period piece.
Very ambitious.
And it was another whole part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe all of a sudden.
Right.
And you were like, look, this dumb took it. There's the Howling Commandos. It was very exciting.
That was cool. And then you saw Bucky and his first stages. The other thing that I didn't like that brought this movie down a little bit is the second act is basically a montage. Do you remember? Where he's just... It's just like highlight reel clips of him fighting in the war.
Oh, also where he's like on stage and it's after that. Yeah. Right. They're showing him battle instead of
it's just like a montage of stuff. Yeah. So
I kind of like the news, old time news relay though.
The news reel was cool, and him and them acknowledging in the beginning that the costume was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Made the film that all the met more charming. You're like, oh, they understand this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Money Shot for me is the first time he's got his powers. He's running. He's chasing after the Hydra agent.
Yeah.
And he jumps over like a 10-foot fence.
Oh, yeah.
Geek boner.
Everyone's like, oh, shit. Yeah. He's a super soldier. That's Cap.
Yeah.
Did you have a scene or anything?
Nothing that sticks out.
There was one unusually brutal scene. Do you remember when he's fighting one of the Hydra agents in the air on one of those planes?
Yeah.
He throws him through a propeller.
Oh, yeah.
And the blood just like all goes
very Indiana Jones.
Well, it was Joe Johnston.
Oh, that's right.
And he is very inspired by Indiana Jones. He did a Jumanji.
Okay.
He said he was inspired by Indiana Jones.
Don't say that word out loud. The monkeys will come. Jumanji.
The Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah. Rocketeer is great.
Very good. Some of those vibes in this film. So
yeah, you see a lot of that. But you're right. I mean, the Red Skull is such a huge villain that you could do so much with him.
Hugo Weaving, although I think he's contracted to do more films, he is another one that was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Wow.
So
there's a lot of those as we go through this. We're seeing Edgar Wright's like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to scoot.
It's not for everyone.
You guys can fit. No, it isn't. And we've learned, artists and filmmakers alike, the Marvel method sometimes rubs them the wrong way. Okay. So we are at number 5.
So now we're in the top 5 here.
We're still middle tier of the 12.
Middle tier
top
of the 12.
Five top of 5 of the list.
All right. So this is the last of the middle tier. For me, I put Avengers Age of Ultron.
Nope.
What do you have?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, well, Avengers Age of Ultron.
They're kind of, I see why both of them would go there, though.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I have Age of Ultron here. Upon first watch, I was like, oh, I'm a little disappointed. But then the second watch, I was like, there's so much going on in this film, and it helped that Devin Faraci wrote some amazing articles.
Yeah, I kind of wish I haven't seen it twice.
Where did you have it again?
I have it at 7.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go over again.
Yeah.
But Age of Ultron...
that's not a bad spot. No. I don't disagree.
We still
with
have
that.
It in the middle tier.
Yeah.
I felt like there was just it was very ambitious. The reason I don't have it in the top 4 is obviously it needed a little more time. But once you look into the character development and the relationship and the building of character from film to film to film, and that this being a continuation of the arcs of each character,
it's very satisfying.
Yeah,
it's very good. Satisfying.
It's actually really well done. It just needed a little more time.
Yeah, again, they're setting up too many things. You wanted a little more character moments. Ultron, maybe a little heavy-handed, but it looked awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the magic of the first film.
Yeah.
But it still, in my opinion, was a very, very, very solid entry, and I have to respect Whedon's ambitiousness.
Yeah. I mean,
put in so many things.
The way he could pull off these movies with like 12 heroes, that's right. Unbelievable. But he's one of those skilled people, one of the few that could do that right. Well.
Yeah.
I mean,
he tried things. He tried Hulk and Widow being a relationship.
Yeah. It's different.
It's different. And when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. Although in the film, it's a little clunky.
It does. Again, everything could have benefited from a little more breathing room.
Just a little more time.
And I feel like if we get a director's cut, it'll be solid.
I don't think we'll ever get a director's cut.
No?
I think he's quoted him or someone else.
They just don't
believe in director's cut. Oh. Like, this is the film.
Oh.
These are the parameters you're given.
Yeah.
You have to make the
That's
film.
That's valid. Yeah, yeah. You're like, why am I going to give you another movie when I just gave you a movie? I mean, I got to say, the Money Shot is like...
Geek boner.
It's like the opening. It's right up front.
Oh, you like that one?
For one of them. Just that, seeing them all work together... and then one shot where they're just in the forest and they're all attacking like that.
I have a similar Money Shot. Yeah. Mine's when they're in the tower defending the tower.
Oh yeah, or and the when it's rising, yeah, the little thing.
They're defending it from all the drones.
Dude, that was nuts, and that's why I really need to see that movie again. Dude,
I've watched it. You can YouTube it. I've watched it 15 to 20 times. There's so much.
Yeah, you can't get all of that in one sitting. No. So for that ambition alone, like that's amazing. Like he shoved a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
I did like those.
That's what draws it back a little bit. Is Thor's little side mission was very weird.
Yeah, it didn't really have. It was like a whole other movie.
It was like another movie. It was just to build Thor Ragnarok.
Although another
geek boner
is Tony's vision of possibly what maybe that's where the end of Avengers Infinity War ends.
That is intriguing.
Where everyone is dead.
Shield is broken in half.
Yeah.
What Cap shield and everyone's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but again, a little just overstuffed and wasn't able to focus on one thing for long enough for you to care about it, you know, without moving to the next thing.
We'll have our rankings in the show notes.
We will?
We should.
All right. That means I have to go back, listen, and write this shit down. No, you wrote yours.
I wrote mine down, and you have yours right
mine
now.
Are on. Unless they're fine, unless the breeze comes through this room and knocks my papers. Because I have them on pieces, 12 little pieces of paper.
Because you had this at 7, I have it at 5.
Okay, number 4 then.
4, we know what your 4 was.
My 4 was Ant-Man.
Okay, so my 4 was Guardians.
Okay, yeah.
Did you have Guardians 5th?
5.
Okay.
And I think I might have had him switched at one point, and I switched him. So that all makes sense. Guardians of the Galaxy for you, number 4.
Very, very risky film. So you have to respect the risk, the risk taken, and the fact that it was executed well. The soundtrack is amazing. All the characters work way better than they ever should have.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, rank this 2 or 1.
They do.
For me personally, I think.
But I think to them, because it's just more accessible.
Right. For me personally, I just didn't grow up with these characters. So that factors into my decision, is that I don't have this love for these characters that I've grew up with some of the other films that I have.
You know, I really started reading Guardians of the Galaxy when they announced that they were making this movie.
Right.
And Marvel put out a new book, and I was like, oh, let me check this out. And it was very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, besides the fact that, like, the original Guardians are completely different characters, you know, yeah, great. Chris Pratt's great. On his way to becoming the hero guy for lots of things.
Batista as Drax was awesome.
Dave Batista was better than...
He had any right to be.
Yes!
His one-liners were great. Him acting...
Yeah.
You know, like very oblivious to everything.
Yeah, I mean, I have it at 5, and it's because I took my wife to it, and she enjoyed it because she didn't have to know anything else.
You didn't. You didn't. This is the good thing about this film is you're right. You don't have to have seen any of the Marvel MCU films to go into this and enjoy it.
It strikes that Star Wars nerve, and even though how I just said I don't like fantasy things, I like them grounded in reality. There was enough reality in the characters, in the writing, in the performances to make you care about these characters.
Yeah.
And really, Groot was amazing. Like, without saying anything.
He was awesome.
You instantly are like, I want to hug him.
Yeah. The two things that drew this back for me or put chinks in the armor were the dance-off scene and the climactic battle.
You don't like him dancing?
It just ruins the seriousness of it.
Yeah.
And then... Ronan was kind of one note as well.
Ronan was wasted again. Even though we saw Thanos, that was exciting.
We saw him, but then Ronan talked shit to him.
Yeah.
I think it was like a waste of Thanos, too.
Yeah. And what's that guy's name who plays Ronan? He's amazing. Lee Pace.
Lee Pace
is great.
And Ronan's a really cool character.
Yeah.
In the comics.
Yeah.
He's almost an anti-hero.
Yeah, he's super powerful. He switches sides.
Right.
You know what? The other thing is, like, the spaceships in this one, I noticed they're all starting to look the same a little.
Yeah.
They're all big – the enemy ones. They're all, like, big black monolithic things.
This
like
one's
in Thor 2.
Yeah. They're both kind of similar.
Where one is Asgardian and one's – and why do they look the same?
The design is
cool, but it's a lot of it looks the same. I love that net, the ship net trying to protect. But again, you didn't get a lot of where the planet and why we should care about the Nova Corps and all that, you know?
Yeah. So my money shot has to be Thanos in the chair.
Geek
when you finally, when it's panning back and you're seeing Thanos kind of sit down in the chair and you're like, fucking, that's Thanos.
Because you're like, no, more that. I don't care about that. Give me that. Yeah. More Thanos.
And it almost ruins Ronan because you're like,
yeah.
I want to see Thanos.
Yeah.
I want to see that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Ronan anymore.
Man, they teased Thanos twice now, man.
Yeah. Three times now.
End
of Age of Ultron, too.
That's right. Yeah. He grabbed his little gauntlet.
He grabbed the gauntlet, yeah.
So they're really they're playing the long game with Thanos.
Yeah,
and hopefully it pays off in the next Avengers movie. I think that's where it's all going, obviously. Okay.
We're in the top 4 right now.
What number are we on?
3 for me.
Oh, 3. Okay. So these 3, they're going to be the same movies, probably.
Oh, yeah. If you've been counting this so far, you'll know what last 3 movies we have.
Listener, if you go to Vegas and count cards and are good at it, then you know.
Okay. 3 for me is Iron Man.
Sorry.
What do you have Iron Man at?
2.
Okay. So 3 for me is Iron Man. It started the MCU.
Yes.
So you have to give it credit for that.
Absolutely.
It's a fantastic movie. I had no idea coming in that this was starting the MCU. So
right.
Seeing Nick Fury walk in and be like, there's a world you don't know about, bigger than you know, I work for SHIELD.
There was no such thing as an MCU.
Right. I was like, holy fuck. Like, I wasn't as into the MCU. This movie brought me back into the comic book film.
And I think it was the first case of we did not know that there's a post-credit scene.
No. We had no idea. I don't even know why I stuck around.
Right. I remember a lot of people missed it.
Yeah.
Because it was not a thing like it is now.
Fury talks about the Avenger Initiative.
I remember a lot of people going, what? Ah, oh, shit. Why did I leave so early?
Right.
I don't remember. I must have found out. I stayed to see it.
I ended up watching it two or three times in theaters. But it was – Iron Man is great. Robert Downey Jr., his comeback performance. I mean, he's amazing in it.
I mean, the entire MCU literally rests on Robert Downey Jr.
And Tony Stark. It's all because of him. Yeah. So that's why this film gets a ton of credit.
If this movie didn't work –
MCU fails.
We would be at one movie for MCU. None of this would have happened.
Maybe we're not doing this podcast.
Yeah. In an alternate universe, this movie takes like Fantastic Four. None of this happens. Sony puts out 12 Spider-Man movies.
Can you believe, too? I didn't know this, but Iron Man was considered a tier two B level character.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
This was at a time when Marvel's like, they're scratching their heads going, shit, well, we don't have the X-Men. We don't have Spider-Man. We don't have Fantastic Four. What do we do? Who is one of our shitty Iron Man? Nobody knew Iron Man.
Did you like Iron Man?
I loved it.
No, I'm saying, did you like him growing up? Was Iron Man considered a cool character?
I was not. I did not read a lot of Iron Man.
Okay.
All I read was the Civil War stuff.
Okay.
It didn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
You know? Now, looking back, like, him being a drunk playboy and the way, like, it was kind of groundbreaking at the time, too, and I understand why people are doing it, but so for some reason, I mean, I can't connect with a fucking millionaire with an armor suit. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
But this movie, everyone is like, yay, Iron Man! Like, wow! Like, Iron Man's actually great. It's the smartest thing they could have done. They could have picked anybody. I wonder who else they wanted to start with.
I don't know. I think they always had their eye on... Well, probably not, but I think Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Yeah, once he saw that, and it really
is Tony Stark.
It really is a great character.
Yeah,
it just was awesome. At the time, like, nobody was reading Iron Man comic books. It wasn't relevant.
Right.
And he made it suddenly relevant. Now, I have it higher, partly because of our last episode and our conversation with Fetty Ponce. How he was saying how he worked on the first movie, how it was, like, hectic and, like... You know, we forget, again, this was an independent studio.
Right.
They really didn't know what they were doing. This is
a
huge gamble with their character. The whole thing could have flopped.
Even Robert Downey Jr., that casting was, at the time, a very, very risky casting.
Yeah, I mean, he was notorious, like, hard to work with. This was him kind of getting his shit together.
Right.
And this is his John Travolta Pulp Fiction moment.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely. The only thing that brings this film down for me is... what's his name? Iron Monger.
Yeah.
His character is...
Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah Stane's not fleshed out enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But other than that, this film is pretty much almost one of the better, like, solid superhero origin story films.
Like, the beginning of the movie is really heartfelt, and you really connect with him when he's building that original armor.
The original armor is amazing.
It's really cool. Like,
it's spot on.
And you love seeing that, because it's a nod to, you know, Iron Man's armor,
right.
And then to see the progression... and then the first time he just flies with fighter jets, you're
that,
like,
that's... Oh, not that one, but the... Oh, go ahead. Geek boner.
Sorry.
Geek boner!
My money shot in it as actually the first time he puts the suit on.
Oh, yeah.
The silver suit.
Yeah.
And it's the camera's panning around him and the suit's coming onto
his
body.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then he flies for the first time in the silver suit.
Actually, I love the whole sequence of him learning how to use his propulsors with Jarvis.
Great.
And
he flips around and he lands
on
the car.
He's like, if you use that fire extinguisher on me, I'm shutting you, I'm deleting you. that is up there with, like, Tobey Maguire learning how to be Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a great... discovery moment.
That especially when he puts on the suit for the first time and you're like, holy crap, the CGI is ready.
Plus, you buy that this guy built this thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, you totally buy it.
Yeah, they did it work great. I mean, you're like, holy shit, the CGI, it's finally caught up. You can finally put a comic book character in front of you and it looks real.
I would have thought Favreau would be good at directing a fucking superhero movie like this.
I know. I always thought of him as just an actor.
Fucking Swingers Favreau.
Right.
I mean, he's directed a lot, but this level and... Again, it started the whole trend of them picking, taking their chance with the casting, with their chance with the creative team, with the directors, with the character.
Right.
And they learned a lot, and it's paid off.
Totally paid off.
All right.
All right.
Number two.
Number two for me, Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
I had that at three, my friend.
Okay.
I had it switched.
I almost had this number one.
Yeah, really?
I love this film.
Yeah. I know you do.
I love this film.
I remember when we saw it.
We saw it together.
We got a preview screening.
We saw it 2 weeks before it came
2 out. 2 weeks before everyone came out, and we were like, God damn, that was awesome.
That's pre-Jock and Nerd, too. I don't know how we got that. Oh, it was just some online thing.
Yeah, it was that thing. Remember that? There's that website.
See It Now.
See it now. Where you have
so go to seeitnow.com and sign up.
And you might get lucky because occasionally these come in and you get – and they do these screenings so that for 2 weeks, everyone – and it was brilliant the way they did it, remember?
They were super confident.
It was simultaneous across the country all at the same time.
Right.
And what does that lead to? 2 weeks of people texting or tweeting going – oh, God, I saw a screening of this movie. It's great. You got to see it. It was a genius, genius move. Plus, it didn't help that the movie is really good.
Well, they knew what they had. They knew they had a solid fucking film on their hands.
Wow.
This movie's great. I mean, it's a political thriller. It's Captain America. It's a Captain America film in the real world.
Yeah.
And there's real consequences, and it took itself seriously, and Winter Soldier's a fucking badass, and you introduce the Falcon, and Widow's awesome, and Chris Evans, again, makes unwavering and uncompromising cool and doing the right thing.
And it
cool.
changes the MCU and in it, a huge way.
It puts Captain America in a modern context and makes him decide what's right and what's wrong. You know? It's not him in the past anymore. It's a logical progression from the first film.
And, you know, picking up on the topics of national security
and tying that in.
So brilliant.
National security, that's all stuff that's relevant.
And then, you know, picking up those threads to Civil War, because that is how Cap would react to this shit right now.
Right. And I love putting him in a situation where he's normally just black and white, and this is a situation where it's gray, and he has to figure out where he stands on it, and he always chooses the right thing. I mean, Winter Soldier was like the Terminator in this film.
Yeah.
He was unstoppable. You legitimately, every time he came on screen, I'm like, oh shit, someone might die.
Every action scene the Russo brothers did, the fight scene, not just the fight, like the Fury in his van
getting
shot. Like every action scene was so good.
I might as well say my money shot then. It's when he's on the boat and he's infiltrating the boat in the first time and he's running across and
getting
using his shield.
That is like a comic book come to life.
Oh my God. That's how Cap would fight.
Yes. Yeah. And you had George St. Pierre as Baltrock.
And they
made Baltrock the Leaper work.
And they made it work, I mean, that's unbelievable.
A silly-ass character who's supposed to be a French stereotype in a purple tights made him work. Like, man, everything they did was just pitch perfect. Like, the Russo brothers can do no wrong. They just got to keep the same vibe but the same things going and make it bigger.
I guess the only reason I don't have this higher is, well, if you know what a number one is, you can figure it out.
Ribble.
But it's just... Number one had there was much more difficult to make that a better film.
Yeah,
Captain America is just one character. Yeah. Obviously, they have Falcon and Widow, but an ensemble cast is tougher. So I guess we got to go to. Well, do you have any more thoughts on Winter Soldier?
No, I mean I agree. Like I was as excited to see Falcon more. I was surprised how excited I was to see Falcon and how cool he was.
Right,
and how
Falcon
well it worked.
Amazing too. And
Robert Redford, man. Fucking Robert Redford.
That scene with Haley Atwell, that's a tearjerker where she has amnesia or dementia.
It's like a good mini Avengers movie.
Yeah. And making him relatable by making him a war vet, where he relates, he goes to the war vet stuff and he's a guy that doesn't know how to, you know, he's dealing with PTSD. I mean, it's all very relatable. It's all so clever.
And I mean, another important thing about a lot of these, this one especially, there's no stupid love story interest.
No.
They're not trying to like, oh, he's got to be fall in love with and kiss him. No, it doesn't matter.
It didn't matter.
I love that they do that.
Yeah. You didn't need that in this film.
And what they
hinted at it.
Yeah,
which
but
was
that
great.
was it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have Iron Man higher, obviously, because it was first.
Yeah.
I love Winter Soldier. So number one for both of us,
Avengers.
That's great. And I put it number one because this is what everything was leading to. This was the end of phase one. It was a genius way. It was like reading a comic book.
Yep.
And I remember the hype was huge. You were so excited. And I'm just going to say like the
geek moment.
Just them standing in a circle and the camera panning as the fucking
That's the money shot.
And fucking Whedon pulls this off perfectly. It is it's a well-paced movie. It's not overstuffed like its sequel.
No. It's a perfect movie for the fact of the amount of hype that was behind it and the fact that there were five films before it.
Yeah,
this is introducing all these solo characters.
This is right in the middle, the sixth movie. Yeah,
and for it to deliver, and for it to be the first of its kind, an ensemble cast.
So many things went right.
Yeah, everything went right. I mean, this film, just like I said earlier, it was more difficult to make this film a great film.
Yeah.
To give all these characters the perfect amount of screen time and to balance everything. It was more difficult to make an ensemble cast like this a better film than it is to make Captain America a great film, in my opinion.
No, I agree.
This is the movie that literally blew up the MCU.
Yeah.
I mean, Iron Man started everything, but this is the one where it was like, holy fuck.
Oh shit, they can do this. This is the thing.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this movie certainly could have failed in the wrong hands.
Great humor, character development.
Hulk was used perfectly. Great. I mean, the fight scenes were amazing. The Chitauri were, you know, them fighting the Chitauri. Loki was awesome. This made Loki a star.
Yeah. That, again, another risky move on Whedon's part to bring Loki back.
It was supposed to be a couple of villains. I think it was supposed to be Red Skull and Loki.
See, that's smart. And I think if you could only do this with Loki.
And it was a nod to the comics, too. Loki is the one that starts the Avengers in the...
Oh, yeah.
They get together to fight him.
This movie, had they tried to shove in a new villain, mm-hmm. this movie would have failed.
Right.
The fact that we knew Loki,
right.
you didn't have to worry about that whole side of the story.
Exactly.
You had more room for – now, I think that's why because of – even in Ultron, it happened really fast.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, what? That's it? Like, what? Hold on. Like, it happened so fast while they're setting up seven different movies mm-hmm. with 12 people. It was just a little much. Even though I loved Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
You had to create Ultron, learn his origin, find out his motives, and kill him all in the same film.
You know, that's so smart for him to use Loki because right. that it's the only one that – why don't more of these movies do that? It's the only one where you have an established villain that everyone loves.
Right.
Fucking use him again.
And it makes logical sense why he wants to conquer yes. Earth. He wants to rule this other planet. He
yes.
wants to become a king.
None of the other villains make any sense.
No.
Except for like Winter Soldier.
And Avengers blew up Shawarma. Shawarma is a thing. Now my friends eat Shawarma late
Ew,
night.
Really? Yeah, because of Avengers?
Well, I think they've always liked
it. Ever heard of Middle Eastern food?
I'd never heard of Shawarma.
You never heard of Shawarma? Mm-mm. You got to get out sometime. where there isn't loud-ass music,
and
a laser
alcohol.
Light show and alcohol where you can't tell who you're talking to.
That's what you
Could
like,
Could be a
though.
Strobe light, honey. You know what those are?
It's a Picasso. It's yeah. good from afar, but when you get up close, it's all fucked up.
Far from good.
Avengers is amazing. A fucking amazing film. I was thinking we should recap our 12 and then talk about which Phase 3 film we're most excited for.
All right.
So since you didn't get to rank your 12 in order, just for the listener.
Number 12, The Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Number 11, Thor The Dark World.
Okay.
Number 10, Iron Man 3. Or is it Iron Man 3? Iron? Anyways. Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Number 9, Thor.
Okay.
Number 8, Iron Man 2. I mean, I yearn for Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Seven? Number 7, Avengers Age of Ultron.
There you go.
Number 6, Captain America First Avenger.
Okay.
Number 5, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 4, Ant-Man. Number 3, Captain America Winter Soldier. Number 2, Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1, Avengers.
So the only one we really had a difference of opinion on was Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But as you can see by our tiers, there's a sort of a clear delineation between like the last four, which are whatever, and the middle are like good, solid films. But then the top four, at least for both of us, we kind of agree are very, very good.
Well, and what's interesting, and it's not a chronological thing. It's not like these movies have progressively gotten better. There are hits and misses all over the place.
And I would use the term miss loosely because I don't think they're all any of them are misses.
No.
I just think some are a lot better than others.
Yeah.
Or some are slightly better than others. But they're all, in my opinion, rewatchable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And good films.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean
Incredible Hulk for me is not a bad film. It doesn't stir up as much anger or anything like Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that's true.
Or any of the bad Batman
it's,
films.
It's decent.
It's a solid film.
Yeah.
I should watch
that one again.
It's just okay.
Yeah, it's just okay.
Yeah.
But Guardians is fun. You can throw it on. And like, I really want to. I think if I watch Age of Ultron again, I'll probably like it a little bit
more. I think
more.
You will, yeah.
Because you're right. Farachi's articles, I was like, God damn, I missed half of this shit.
Yeah.
What movie were you watching?
We should link that article again.
We'll put that in there.
What helps these films, too, is there's comedy injected in a ton of all these films.
Well, it's very important. Do you think, though, looking at this spread, are they getting a little formulaic? Are they starting to be...
They were, but then when Ant-Man came out, it was like, Ant-Man's, that's not really formulaic.
Yeah, Ant-Man, again, is not... I mean, I'll argue that one, along with, like you saw, Iron Man 3, but maybe that one more is the most different kind of Marvel movie.
Right. Any of these Phase 3 films that we're looking at excite you most? I think I know what you're going
to say. Yeah, choose. You know what I'm going to say. Spider-Man. Here's what we got coming up. Let's just tell them what it is.
All right.
Captain America Civil War.
Yep.
Followed by Doctor Strange. Followed by Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Then Spider-Man. Then Thor Ragnarok. Then Avengers Infinity War Part 1. Black Panther. Captain Marvel. Avengers Infinity War 2, and then Phase 3 closes out in 2019 with the Inhumans. That is 10 movies in Phase 3, where each Phase 1, Phase 2 only had 6 movies. I thought they would split that up.
No, they're going all out for Phase 3.
5 and 5.
I think Guardians of the Galaxy really emboldened them to be like, you know what, we can take some risks now, and we can make these films that... with characters that aren't the most popular.
But now, you know, now that I think about it, a couple of the films that I'm looking forward to, I think are the riskier properties, like your Doctor Strange. That's I'm amazing. Really curious now what they're going to do with that.
You said you like the Microverse.
I like the Microverse, but I never really – Doctor Strange is weird. I never really got into – yeah. You know, I was
– Did you hear some of the concept art for it?
No.
With the – it's like Inception style with buildings on
side. Yeah. That's what you need. Yeah. That's what you kind of see is reality bending and melting on itself.
Yeah.
And they cast – what's her name as the Ancient One?
Tilda
Swinton.
Tilda Swinton, yeah.
And Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
As the strong –
Doctor Who as Doctor Strange.
Doctor Who. He could be all – he's Dr. Sherlock. Well, he's Sherlock. He's not Dr. Sherlock. But man, you know, of course, Civil War – Captain America.
That one I'm really looking forward to.
That is almost going to be a better Avengers 2, I think, for me. Again, there's fucking 12 people in that movie.
I mean, Avengers, obviously, the Infinity War. I mean, all of these. The only one I'm really not all that excited for is Captain Marvel and Inhumans. Even
really?
Inhumans, I'm kind of intrigued. But Captain Marvel, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being chauvinistic.
You are, you jock ass. But that is important because, like, the Warner Brothers will have beat them with Wonder Woman by that time.
They will have beaten them.
So this will be interesting. And Inhumans, who knows where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. takes us and what more we get in human mythos and culture. That can make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But like Thor, they really got to work on that third Thor.
Kevin Feige's quote is saying Thor 3 is going to be like the Captain America Winter Soldier of Phase 3.
That's interesting.
Where it just breaks everything apart.
Well, it's kind of in the middle of Phase 3. It's the movie right before the next Avengers movie. Right. So – that makes sense. I feel like Civil War will shake things up until Thor 3, which will shake things up until like Avengers 2.
Right.
Infinity War 2 or some shit.
Yeah. You need some game changers in there, and maybe that's one of them.
I just – I hope it doesn't – I hope we don't burn out on all this.
Well, we won't, but for the general
public. I'm saying the general people to where they just scrap the plans. I mean, these are ambitious plans, and fucking Spider-Man. Just show me Spider-Man. But in the meantime, listener, we have Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, The Defenders to look forward to, another season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., another season of Agent Carter, another season of Daredevil.
Marvel's Most Wanted. Yeah.
Wow. Lots of great Marvel shit, man.
This was pretty fun, dude. Just recapping these movies.
Yeah, I'm surprised that like we were that close, but it was harder than I thought.
It was definitely harder than I thought. And you agree we should have these in our show notes just so that people can reference them?
Yes.
Or do you want people to listen to the show?
Nah, we can put it in the notes. Okay. Nobody reads anyways. Yeah, come on. What are you reading?
Yeah.
Have you been on Facebook really?
You nerd.
Nobody reads nothing.
You fucking nerd.
They just read the first three words and then form an opinion and tweet about it angrily.
Oh, shit.
Like fucking assholes. Hi, Twitter. Yeah, tweet at us at Jock and Nerdcast on Twitter.
Twitter's giving an opinion to assholes that don't need an opinion.
That don't deserve to have an opinion. All right, let's do some housekeeping and wrap this shit up. What do you say? Jock and Nerd. So... Spider Timber is coming, listener.
Yes.
Beware.
The next episode will be the first in Spider Timber.
It will.
It'll be a crossover. We'll just tell the audience. It'll be a crossover with Geek Course.
Yes.
A two-parter. So you got to listen to both, listener.
It's going
to
be awesome. And David Malofsky from A Place to Hang Your Cape is heralding all next month as hashtag Spider Timber.
Use it.
He's going to have articles. He's going to have videos. We're going to be adding podcasts with the Geek Chorus.
Right. And our own.
We're going to have
some really interesting guests.
Yeah, hopefully we would nail down a couple of interesting guests for Spider-Timber. I know Rugboy wants to do a Spider-Man episode. It's going to be great, listener. Plus, we have, as well as other content planned, but check out Geek Chorus at, it's on A Place to Hang Your Cape, which you can find at ap2hyc.com. And also Peter Kendall from HD1 Jump will also be on that crossover. So that's going to be interesting.
I'm going to shout out some of these other sites that are contributing to Spider-Timber. I'm with geek.com, geekguardian.com. Blackgirlnerds.com. I think there's also a girl nerds with wives or geeks with wives.
Oh, geeks with wives is a new one.
There's another one. Yeah, there's a bunch.
You guys, all next month, we're going to be talking about these guys. We highly recommend you go check out their Spider-Man content because there'll be a lot of unique perspectives. Some of the stuff might overlap. We might talk about their articles. They might talk about our podcast.
As Fetty Ponce said from the last show, we're trying to create this community of
the
interaction.
Community of jock and nerd.
Jock and nerd. Well,
jock and nerd.
All jocks and all nerds that like Spider-Man.
Again, this is another great case of everyone's helping everyone out.
Exactly.
We're going to get everyone's word out there and using, like, something I love. Like, I couldn't be more happy and excited for Spider-Timber.
This is you.
Are you kidding me?
We have, like, at least three or four podcasts planned with Spider-Man.
Yeah, we already have two. We did about Spider-Man. Do we have three? If two.
At least two, but then we also have the artists, which we talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It always ends up to Spider-Man.
That's exciting. Check it out. Next show, use the hashtag Spider-Timber. Let us know if you can send us an email or something you like about Spider-Man, something you want us to talk about. Definitely send us show at jockandnerd.com.
We also, I'd mentioned Fetty Ponce, who was on our last show a few times. He sent you some cupcakes.
Dude, Fetty Ponce is awesome. Him and his crew, his PR manager, Nacho Albia, so nice, so appreciative. Nice. They love the show. They've been pulling in a lot of listens for, and I thank you guys so much. Fetty was just awesome, and they're like, "Hey, we're gonna send you something," and I was like, "It's not necessary, but thank you." And I get home, and there's delicious gourmet cupcakes. Did you want any of those?
I'm glad you got them because I would not have appreciated the cupcake. I would have appreciated the gesture. I would not have eaten them because I don't eat sweets.
Oh, well, that's great because I ate them all already.
That's
so
good.
It wouldn't have mattered if you did want them. You weren't getting any fucking cupcake.
Oh, shit.
You sent me a box of sweet tarts, so I'll be pretty happy.
What, he did?
No. I'm just saying.
Now,
I like sour shit.
It was, you know what? We don't expect our guests to send us anything.
That was really nice.
However, fucking class move, Fetty Potts. Yeah. That's a boss move.
That is.
And other people could to learn a lesson. That's all. I'm not saying there's no bribery going on. We did not ask for it. They are just awesome people, and they really love the episode, and they appreciate it, and we want to support them.
I bet next time you check your mail, you'll get a box with one slice of salami from Rugboy. It's like half eaten too.
I feel bad because like that was probably his dinner for the night, and he sent it to me as appreciation. Rugboy isn't sending us shit. I'll tell you that much.
No, we should plug. We plugged AP2HYC. We should also plug podcast.ph for carrying us across the world. We should also plug Kara. Kara, should we say her last name?
Kaneki.
Kaneki.
We talked about her way early in the beginning, remember? Former coworker and good friend of the show.
She had a nice little tweet.
She tweeted us a really cool question. She asked, could Superman see through Harry Potter's invisibility cloak? FYI, the cloak is strong magic. To which the jock immediately tweeted back, what?
Nope. No, we can't.
Geek boner.
That's about it.
That's about it. Magic is his kryptonite along with kryptonite.
Now, but... All right, so like if Harry Potter was in front of him hiding and giggling, he and Supes like scans the area with his he wouldn't see anything? What would happen?
He wouldn't see him.
That means Harry Potter could just come up and tickle him and run away and hide.
I mean, Harry Potter's not going to be able to do much to him, but he might.
He's got a magic wand.
Oh, that's true. Magic. I forget. Yeah.
Magic is Superman can't handle magic.
No.
Shazam is like the magic Superman.
Right. That's why he has trouble with
Shazam.
Superman.
Would be able to see through the invisibility cloak.
Shazam would see that.
But
then he would turn into a little kid and want to play with Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, show me how you use your wand. Yeah. Want to see my wand?
Oh, shit. Wow.
I don't think he says that.
No? All right. You show me your wand, I'll show you mine.
Wow.
But yeah, so Superman plus magic equal no good.
No, no good.
Huh. Good to know.
Should we do the rest of the business and get out of here?
Yeah, let's wrap this shit up.
All right, we have a SpeakPipe. You can send us audio messages on our website with speakpipe.com/jockandnerd.
Or click the link in the show notes. It's right there.
You can also email us, show@jockandnerd. Tweet at us, jockandnerdcast. So if you have you're an asshole with an opinion, tweet at us at jockandnerdcast. Also facebook.com. And clamor us. We love clamor. We love Parviz Parvizi.
Assholes are like opinions, though.
Everyone's got one.
Everybody has one.
What if you don't have a lower body?
Then you're just a really nice guy. You're not an asshole.
Paraplegic.
I love – you've seen Team America World Police.
Yeah.
Where they're like, the whole world is run by assholes, pussies, and dicks. The dicks are fucking the assholes and the pussy – I forgot the whole thing. It was a brilliant analogy, though. It is the tightest muscle in the body, your asshole? Sphincter.
Is it really?
Yeah. It will crush you.
But if you get banged in the butt, it loosens up a little bit.
Doing
the
butt.
Oh, shit.
Not that we've ever done that.
Talking nerd. What? Did what? What are we talking about?
Getting banged in the butt? I've never been banged in the butt.
Dude, there was that song in the 80s.
Which one? Banging the butt?
It was doing the butt.
Oh.
They were like, doing the butt. Ow.
What the fuck?
Sex is sexy.
I mean, there's a lot of songs that now reference.
Ain't nothing wrong if you want a little butt all night long. You don't remember that song?
No, 80s. Dude, I was born in 87.
That's problematic. Yeah. That's problematic for me.
You were born, what, 72?
Come on. Word Up by Cameo? Word Up.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that song.
Can I just tell you a quick funny story, and then we'll call it quits?
Yeah, yeah.
In high school, I had my alarm set to B96.
Okay.
Right? Which was, at the time, it was like the pop music station, Eddie Jobo.
Wasn't B96, though, the dance station?
It was kind of like the urban. It was R&B, urban.
But when did they play like dance music, or was that always at night?
That might have – they did the mix guys at night.
Okay.
Anyways, I had my alarm set to B96, and I swear, dude, for like 2 weeks, every time my alarm would go off, they were playing fucking Word Up by Cameo.
Okay.
Like every morning. And it would – and after like four times, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This is like before Groundhog Day was a movie. I was like, did I just live this? Why is this song on every fucking morning? I thought they were fucking with me.
For our international audience, B96 is a hip-hop – well, now it's a top 40 station in Chicago.
No, it's horrible.
I still listen to it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I throw it up.
Yeah, the jocks listen to it.
Yeah.
It was – but Eddie and Jumbo are still around.
They're not on B96.
No, I mean, but they're doing commercials.
Yeah.
Did they get fired?
No. Yeah, they got fired. They got let go.
I was so shocked when I finally saw what they look like.
They look old.
I was like, that's them?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were white.
Yeah, Jobo doesn't sound white
at
all. No, he doesn't. And I remember when I was a kid listening to them, I'm like, these guys sound cool.
Yeah.
And then I saw what they looked like. Yes. I'm like, they look beat to shit.
Yes.
They look like they've been shot at and missed, but shit at and hit for sure. They've been run over by a truck.
It's kind of like when people see me in person for the first time.
Yeah, but you're not wrinkly. Like they're like old wrinkly.
They were wrinkly
guys.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah, you're not wrinkly. You have a white in your beard, but you're not wrinkly. You have nice skin.
Oh, thanks.
The Vitiligo's done you well.
It's all my loofahing. Uh-oh, he just gave you my secret. I didn't even catch that. That's a whole other episode, listener, if you caught that.
If you like this kind of conversation, please subscribe in iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and review us. Yes. Go to jockandnerd.com/review. It's really easy.
And it's free. You'll get every episode and right in your podcast.
Automatic download. You won't miss one moment of this stupidity. I mean, content.
And at the very least, you should tell a friend and tell them what?
Give them one of these.
Jock and Nerd.
There yeah. Make sure you put that pause in there. It's very important for the dramatic beat of the reading of the line.
Exactly. And they'll be able to register it clearly when you pause like that.
And just so you don't forget.
Jock and Nerd.
Right. See, you don't forget that. You're like, what's coming next? The anticipation is killing me.
Yeah.
And it's just and nerd.
Exactly.
You got it?
Got it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, friend. We appreciate you hanging out with us once again. My name is Imran.
And my name is Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And we'll hear you next time.
Now that everyone's gone.
No, but they switched off, I think.
Probably. Did you listen to – so were you still into Tupac after?
Oh, yeah.
You were into
Tupac. I was into – listen, Tupac started in Digital Underground. I was into Tupac before he was solo.
Guy.
I used Digital Underground's first album was awesome. So Humpty, Shock G, Tupac was in it. There was another guy. I can't remember his name. That's where Tupac started.
I had no idea.
You never heard that song, same song, from it was that really bad movie with Dan Aykroyd. Hold on. I have to look this up.
Look it up. So were you a West Coast guy or an East Coast guy?
You know, it's interesting.
Because you grew up, or you were on the East Coast.
I like both, but I feel like I liked more East Coast stuff.
Okay.
Really, the guys who got me were this band De La Soul. They're still together. They started in 1989. They've been together since 1989, putting out records. They are amazing.
You know, I can America's Most Wanted by Tupac and Snoop Dogg. I can rap that entire song.
Get out. I don't even know.
Picture perfect. Started painting a perfect picture. Bombing hoochies with precision. My intention to get with you with this and double OP. Dog, my fucking homie. He's a cold ass on a mall. Showing up.
Wow, that's pretty good. Shit. That's almost as good as Chris Pratt doing Eminem on the fucking thing.
I can
thing.
Rap the entire song.
Nothing But Trouble. Do you remember this movie, Nothing But Trouble?
No.
It came out in 1991. Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, and Demi Moore.
Wait, Tupac is in this movie?
No. Digital Underground does this awesome song called Same Song. Tupac's on the song.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's for this movie. The song is awesome. Their lyrics, the way they flow, they all have an awesome verse. And there's like a long cut of the song that just kind of keeps going. Digital Underground would do these things where they would do like a radio edit of a song, but they do like a long version of a song. And what was that one song? Well, Humpty Dance. There was Same Song. They were just great. So Tupac started there.
No kidding.
And then he got big.
Yeah.
Then he allegedly died.
He's just sitting on an island with Biggie.
You've seen those photos. Yeah. Is this Tupac?
Dude, there's another line. My favorite Tupac rap verse. He goes, it's on How Do You Want It? He goes, tell me, is it cool the fuck? You think I come to talk? I'm not a fool or what? Positions on the floor, I'm like erotic. Ironic, because I'm somewhat psychotic. I'm hitting switches on bitches like I've been fixed with hydraulics.
You know
Dude,
what?
That's so sick.
I wasn't into – that was actually later. Like that I wasn't was like into 90s. later solo Tupac.
So you got
I liked his probably his first couple of hits.
Yeah.
But then I was listening to other things. Okay, I'm just going to play – you got to hear the verse, Tupac's verse from this
song.
So
you were more of a Biggie guy then?
Not even. Even Biggie. I love Biggie, but even that was later for me.
Okay.
I was big Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul.
Oh, you're like that like indie rap sort
yes,
of thing.
Yes, yeah. Kind of like it's
that underground.
It's
rap.
But it's very smart. It's very clever.
Yeah, it's
but
not
I did like
rapping about bitches and hoes.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. I did not really like the party rap so much. I like when they talk about things. Immortal Technique is an indie guy right now. Yeah. He's amazing.
Play some of this song,
okay,
by the way.
Okay, here, yeah. I can actually rap a lot of this song.
It's been all around the world. It's been all around the world.
That's Tupac.
Is that him?
That's him.
With hair.
Yeah. All around the world. Alright, check it out.
I came to the party to get naughty, get my raps on, eat popcorn, watch a movie body to the pop song that I'm singing, ding-a-linging, funky beats ringing, everybody's staying to the place as I kick the plays, easy wild style, R&B mixing it with the hip-hop style, beat champagne in my hand, it won't be long till I'm gone. It's just the same old song. It's just a freestyle. Me while the kids will be kicking. Sweat dripping. Girl is in the living room eating chicken. Oops, don't get the grease on my pantyhose. I love you, Rover. Move over. I got a ball on my nose. Sneezing, but still I'm pleasing to all the slimmies. Pull out my Timmy. It's time to get busy. Because Jenny, when it's good and plenty, don't you know? There I go, there I go, there I go. But I don't go nowhere without my gym hat. What I'm rapping is that you're tapping, then I'm
stopping. Let's cut this song off.
It's such a great song.
Yeah, cut it off. So we'll get sued if we play any more.
But yeah.
but no one's listening.
I still know the words to that song.
That's unbelievable. So we have both just rapped.